Well, praise the name of the Lord, everybody. We are excited about God's word on this day. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. For faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We pray for every listener that they will hear your word and receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing our sermon series titled Essential Elements to Answer Prayer. I will be reading in your hearing from the New American Standard Version of the Bible, Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 26. And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions." We learned from our previous lessons that the first essential element to answer prayer is that we must trust God. Number two, we must understand the power of faith confessions. Number three, we must eliminate doubt. Fourthly, we must come in faith. Number five, we must know the will of God. And number six, we must come in forgiveness. God requires forgiveness from all Christians. No one is exempt. We must learn to forgive. Otherwise, we can get up off of our knees and our prayers will not reach heaven. God will not hear or answer our prayers when we do not come in forgiveness. The Bible says in the book of Psalm, chapter 66, verse 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." The Amplified Bible says, "If I regard sin and baseness in my heart," that is, if I know it is there and do nothing about it, the Lord will not hear me. We recently did a marriage seminar on forgiveness and conflict resolution. And what we had come to understand was that many of us did not see forgiveness modeled in our homes. But when our pastor shared how his mother disciplined them lovingly and modeled forgiveness in their home, it blessed our hearts. He also said she left no residual of anything and she never brought up the matter again. That is true forgiveness. And sometimes our spouses hurt us and they don't even know they hurt us. But we do not have to carry that hurt. We give that heavy load to Jesus. Jesus carries the load for us. He has the right to avenge the wrongs. Justice belongs to him. And each time we hear the anointed word of God, he knows us. And if we allow him, the Holy Spirit convicts our hearts of the sin of unforgiveness. And after our marriage seminar, and when it was all said and done, all of our marriages were stronger and better because of it. And one thing we must never forget is the moment we stop forgiving our spouses is the moment that marriage withers and dies. In the powerful book by Deborah Piquet, Forgive, Let Go, and Live, she writes, "The Lord will turn every offense, every disappointment, and every negative situation into something good. God gives us grace to forgive our spouses and those whom we perceive have wronged us. Prayer is the most powerful tool for unlocking the door to forgiveness. We can't do it on our own. We need God's divine intervention. We need the Holy Spirit to do a gentle, complete work in us and through us, and He will bring peace to that situation. The Bible calls us to be peacemakers. When Job's so-called friends hurt him, accused him for doing wrong, and his wife turned on him and told him to curse God and die, the Lord spoke to his friends in chapter 42, verse 8. He said, "Now therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams, go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly. Because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." And in that same chapter, verse 10, after Job had interceded for his friends, God restored his fortune and then doubled it. The Lord restored prosperity to Job. The acid test to know that you have forgiven is that you are able to pray for those who wronged you. Even in my own life, I will never forget when I entered into a real estate business partnership years ago, there were some crazy, hurtful things that transpired. After about 8 years into the partnership, we allowed a new broker to come into our office and to share the same suite with us. Well, it wasn't long before this broker basically drove a wedge between me and my partner, and she caused a lot of conflicts and confusion. So during that time, I traveled to Florida only to come back to discover some dishonest dealings were going on. And I was the youngest one in the business, so I felt like they were trying to take advantage of me or undermine my skills and my intelligence. So I immediately consulted with legal counsel and was advised to dissolve the partnership and to go on with my business career. And in the midst of the disappointment and the hurt, I started praying for my ex-business partner and the other broker for the Lord to begin to bless their business. I forgave them and moved on with my life. And before long, the Lord gave me peace and healed the hurt and the disappointment. And don't get me wrong, I did not forget what happened, but at the same time, when I saw my ex-business partner again, I didn't get that funny gut feeling, and I wasn't trying to avoid her or get back at her. I was truly set free, and that is what true forgiveness does for us. That is God's grace. The Lord Jesus enables us to recall the facts of the hurt or the offense without any desire for getting them back. Only the Lord can remove that gripping pain of the memory that would have affected me negatively. We have all been there. When we think about a painful hurt that was done to us, when we forgive, we no longer feel the painful emotions. We can talk about it without getting angry or crying. And one of the most compelling accounts of forgiveness in the Bible is the story of Joseph and his brothers in Genesis 41. We are all familiar with the story. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers out of jealousy and sold into slavery. And through all the hardships he faced, the Lord placed his favor upon him and raised him up to become a powerful man in Egypt. The Bible says in Genesis 41:40, You shall be over my house, said Pharaoh. All my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. Years later, during a famine in Egypt, his brothers unknowingly had to face Joseph for help. And Joseph chooses to forgive his brothers instead of seeking revenge. And as I said before, forgiveness is not about forgetting the past, but it's about letting go of the bitterness and the hurt that holds us back. Forgiveness is about freeing ourselves. It isn't just about the other person. When it was all said and done, in Genesis 45:5, Joseph said to his brothers, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. It's about choosing to walk in peace and love and in the fruit of the Spirit over hatred and conflict. And that is something we can all benefit from in our relationships. To forgive is to let go of the desire to see someone else hurt. And it frees our minds to focus on God's goodness instead of our pain." And one might ask, how many times must I forgive that person if they keep hurting me over and over again? Is there a limit? The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 to 22, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. In other words, there is no limit. No matter how many times, we must forgive from the heart. It is the Spirit of the living God who gives us the ability to offer forgiveness over and over and over again, just as God forgives us over and over and over again. Each time we extend forgiveness, it is in the Lord's divine timing that healing and deliverance comes. We must leave the matter to the Lord and trust Him. He knows how to deal with us, and He knows how to deal with the other people's wrongdoings. We must let God be God in every situation and make up our minds that we will come to the Lord in forgiveness, no matter what, in order for our prayers to be answered." Our scripture text goes on to say in Mark chapter 11, 25, "Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions." What we observe in this verse is that the word forgive is mentioned again. And actually, in our foundational text, the word forgive is mentioned 4 times. The Lord is placing strong emphasis on forgiveness. It's a must. Simply put, we are qualified to receive forgiveness when we forgive. Jesus Christ has freely forgiven us. God our Father did an unthinkable, unimaginable, judicial act when He sent His only begotten Son, His precious Son, Jesus Christ, to die a horrific, humiliating death on Calvary's cross to forgive us for every offense we committed against a holy God. So when we forgive with a clear heart and mind, we can pray with sincerity for those who have wronged us, in order for God to forgive us. And if we have injured anyone or harmed anyone, before we pray, we must check our hearts and we must make it right by them. We must release them from the debt we believe that they owe us. That is what Christ Jesus did for us. From eternity past to the present to eternity future, Christ has delivered us from the penalty and the power of sin. And in the near future, when we transition from this earthly realm to our heavenly home, we will be totally delivered from the presence of sin. Hallelujah. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Thank you, Jesus. All God is ever going to do has already been done through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said on the cross in the book of John, chapter 19, verse 30, "It is finished. There is nothing left to do." Jesus Christ is our eternal sacrifice who forgave us of our transgressions. And in our text, the term transgressions comes from the Greek word paratama. It means to fall aside, offense, or sin. Another layer of meaning is a lapse or deviation from truth and uprightness, or a false step out of the appointed way, loose footing. Here's another reason why Jesus emphasizes forgiveness and why we must come in forgiveness to get our prayers answered is because we are all sinners. All of us at one time or another has taken a false step and deviated from the truth of God's word. And you might say, well, I haven't cheated on my spouse, or I haven't robbed or stolen from anyone. But the truth of the matter is, you're still a sinner. Or you might say, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chew, or I don't hang with those who do. You are still a sinner. We like to categorize sin. But there is no big sin or little sin. Sin is sin. Regardless of whether we identify ourselves in any category or not, we are still sinners. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But here's the good news for believers. We are forgiven sinners. Thank God, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we were declared righteous. It is just as if we have never sinned. Our sins are under the blood. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are totally forgiven and we are set free from the bondage of sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 puts it this way. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. When the prophet Nathan came to David after he committed adultery with Bathsheba, David wrote in the book of Psalms, chapter 51, verse 3, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." All sin is disobedience against God. I heard one preacher say this. Herein lies the problem. Could it be that we struggle with forgiving others a lot of times because our sin against God doesn't bother us as much as folks who sin against us? We have heard it said before, "You just don't know how bad they hurt me." So we decide sometimes to harbor the hurt and to nurse the bitterness from people that have gone on with their lives. Even some of us hold hurt from folks who have died. We hold them in our mental and emotional prison cells. At some point, we must come to realize we're only hurting ourselves and we are missing out on all of the many spiritual blessings, the emotional and the mental blessings that we get when we forgive. Forgiveness is so good for the soul. It brings peace and a clear path to communicate with the Lord in prayer. That is the beautiful thing about forgiveness. It benefits everyone, the forgiver and the one being forgiven. Mark 11, verse 26 is our final verse, and it says, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, who is in heaven, forgive your transgressions." Although this verse is absent in the original Greek manuscripts, nevertheless, it is included in most later manuscripts with several variations. The Lord lays out a contrast to verse 25. Father and transgressions are mentioned again in this verse for emphasis. Simply put, we are disqualified to receive forgiveness or obtaining the pardon of our sins when we do not forgive. No forgiveness cancels God's ability to move the mountains in our lives. And someone might be listening, might say, "I am struggling to forgive. I have been violated so many times. My heart has been ripped apart. It is so difficult for me to get past the hurt, the pain, or the abuse." And if the truth were told, all of us at one time or another has struggled with unforgiveness. But once we are taught the Word of God to forgive, we are then held accountable, and we must make a decision to obey God. The Lord helps us and gives us the grace to forgive. And God's willingness to answer prayers depends on our willingness to forgive. We must take God seriously and practice forgiveness. Otherwise, our refusal to forgive blocks God's ability to forgive us. Brian Bell put it this way: an unforgiving spirit will form a fatal roadblock in our prayer life. The sin of unforgiveness leads to broken fellowship. It affects us relationally with the Lord vertically and horizontally with others. Isaiah 59:2 declares, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." Sin prevents prayer from being answered, and we tie God's hands. He will not intervene on our behalf. Even though it is God's will and desire to help us and to move those insurmountable mountains in our lives, but he will not go against his word. God is his word. We must pray and ask the Lord to give us a forgiving spirit and to give us a heart like the heart of Jesus. In the book of Psalm, chapter 86, verse 5, the Bible says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." I enjoy listening to FM 105.7 KHCB, which stands for Keeping Him Close By. It's a Christian radio program. And my alma mater's president, Dr. William Blocker, does a program called Words to the Wise. And I will end with a word to the wise. Forgive. God requires forgiveness from all Christians. God has called us to bring him glory and honor through forgiveness. And as we remain in right relationship with God, we can come to Him and He will hear and answer our prayers. The essential elements to answer prayer is, number one, we must trust God. Number two, we must understand the power of faith confessions. Number three, we must eliminate doubt. Number four, we must come in faith. Number five, we must know the will of God. And number six, we must come in forgiveness. Now, here are some practical applications for our lesson. Number one, daily invest in a lifestyle of prayer. Number two, specifically pray and ask the Lord to show you if you are withholding forgiveness from anyone. Number three, repent and, as directed by the Holy Spirit, go to them and ask them for forgiveness. Number four, seek professional help from a trusted advisor or your pastor if your struggle continues. Number five, read and meditate on the scriptures pertaining to this lesson. Job chapter 42 verses 8 through 10, Job chapter 41 verse 10, Genesis chapter 45 verse 5, Matthew chapter 18 verses 21 to 22, John chapter 19 verse 30, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, Psalms chapter 51 verses 3 and 4, and Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2. And you might ask, Bible teacher Tyler, who is this Jesus? Well, the Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for salvation that's taken place all around the globe. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you until we meet again.